Douglas Crook, Wednesday, October 3rd, 2012.
Well, let's return this evening to Proverbs chapter 30, where we left off last week. And we'll read the verses 24 through 28 again. We only began to consider this passage. So let's go back and read Proverbs chapter 30, and we'll read verses 24 to 28 to kind of get back on track where we left off. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in kings' palaces. Now, the four creatures that are mentioned here, of course, are all small and apparently weak and apparently insignificant, but they all prosper in different ways, and the proverb relates that to wisdom. Now, obviously, it's not that these insects and creatures have studied these things and got wise that way. They are responding simply to a God-given instinct. God gave them these abilities that are pointed to as examples to us in order to understand that the same God that gave them these instincts that lead to their thriving and to their prospering, despite the fact that they are small and insignificant and despite all of their weaknesses and inabilities, because they do what God has instructed them to do, they are very successful. And so, of course, the lesson here for us is if we will follow God's instruction, even though we ourselves are weak and insignificant, we also will know what it is to be successful in doing the will of God, that we will be successfully, in eternal things if we'll simply pay attention to what God has given us. Now, in our case, we don't have instincts that built in that we just respond to, like these creatures. We, because we were created in the image of God, we have a choice to make. Even as believers in Christ, who possess the life of Christ, we still have the ability to choose. And God gave us, that was His sovereign choice, to give us that ability to choose. So we have to understand, if we will simply follow God's instruction, that we will know what success is. And so there are four things that are illustrated for us in these God-given instincts and these creatures that are similar to things that we need to imitate in our own walk with the Lord, in our choices. The first one, the ants that we had last week, and we'll just briefly give what the example is there. These ants prepared for the winter all summer long. And so the wisdom that's found in them is they prepared for tomorrow, today. The unbeliever, we found out, for them to be wise, they need to prepare for eternity today in this life, and they need to accept the gospel invitation for salvation. And if they will do so, they'll be wise, and they will survive the winter of God's wrath when it comes. But we also found out that this wisdom of preparation applies to Christians, that we need to prepare for the day of temptation in this life by hiding the Word of God in our heart ahead of time. Before you get into the problem, before you face the difficulty, trial, you need to already have what you need to deal with it. And that is the Word of God and then a yielding to the Holy Spirit. But we prepare beforehand by living a life that honors the Lord and learning to get sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So when, in the day of adversity, when it comes, we're prepared. When the winter of trials comes, we're prepared. We don't have to try to hurriedly prepare. We're already prepared. And then, of course, ultimately, the believer prepares even for eternity. We already have our home, our eternal home secure by faith in Jesus Christ. But our position in the kingdom of God is determined by what we do in this life. Are we storing up treasure, as we read Jesus' instruction in Matthew? Are we storing up treasure in heaven? And we do that by doing the will of God in every situation, in every circumstance. That work will have eternal value. And that's how we prepare for eternity, our place in eternity. Now let's go on to the next example, which is the rock badger. In verse 26, the rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. Now, the most Bible scholars believe that this is a rabbit-like rodent. In other words, he's very small, very fragile, doesn't have a lot of natural defenses against its enemies. It's not big, it doesn't have spikes, it doesn't have big fangs. It's just vulnerable. But God gave it the wise instinct to make its home in the rocks, in the little cracks in the rock, so that that natural habitat becomes its defense. And this defenseless creature now finds safety in the rock. And God, to me, it's interesting that God went to all the trouble to create all of these, how many species of insects and creatures and all the living things, and he points to them and says, I wanted to teach man a lesson, and I made this so that you would know that I can take care of you. And when you stop and think about how fragile we are, many times we think we're pretty powerful. I mean, you know, after all, we can, as a race, we can build a nuclear bomb, and you know, we're pretty powerful. We can build skyscrapers, and from our scale, that is impressive stuff. But put that on the scale of the creation of the universe, and we find out, oh my, we're pretty weak. And when we experience these natural disasters of a hurricane or an earthquake, and how quickly those magnificent works of ours just come crumbling down, how quickly we're reminded we are as weak and vulnerable as a little rodent in God's universe, and actually smaller and weaker than that. But if we will do what God gave this rodent wisdom to do, if we will find our refuge in the eternal rock, we will thrive. Yes, we're weak. We have a lot of natural enemies, and we're not strong enough to defend ourselves. But if we will make our refuge in Jesus Christ, we will be safe. We will be protected. We will thrive in a dangerous environment. And certainly, we live in a dangerous world in so many ways, physically. But as the Apostle Paul teaches us, spiritually we live in a very dangerous world. But in all areas, physical and spiritual and emotional and mental, we'll find our strength when we hide ourselves in Jesus Christ. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29. We'll apply this, first of all, to the sinner, to the unbeliever. Once again, when the storm of God's wrath comes, only those that have learned to hide in Christ Jesus, the eternal rock, will survive that storm. And this is Jesus' illustration in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Very simple illustration. But how many times throughout history have we seen this demonstrated? We see men build their lives, and many times they're successful in building very impressive lives. And you can pick out anybody you want in history. Alexander the Great, before he was, 33, conquered the whole known world. Now that's impressive. Died in a drunken party, and everything that he had came crumbling down, eventually, quite literally. First, very quickly, his kingdom was split in four different divisions, and then ultimately it came crashing down as the Romans defeated the Greek Empire. So quickly, people build up their life. It's very impressive, but death comes, and what happens? Everything is lost. But those who build their life on Jesus Christ, who accept the invitation of the gospel, death comes, but what we have built upon and what we built in Christ will last for eternity. And so the first application, of course, is to the sinner needing to build on the rock of salvation, Christ Jesus. But again, the believer has an aspect and a lesson to learn. Let's go to Psalm 61. Our house is built on the rock. It is, the foundation is solid. But the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, talked about those who would build with their lives on or according to false doctrine. And that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the solid rock foundation will remain, but everything that was built with false doctrine was going to be burnt. It would pass away. It wouldn't last. It wouldn't have eternal value. So we as Christians need to continue to build on the rock and to build in the rock, to make our homes, our home, our dwelling, our life in the crags, as the illustration was. Psalm 61, verses 1 to 4. David was a man justified by his faith. And in Psalm 61, 1 through 4, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower for the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." If we as Christians are going to thrive in the will of God, if we're going to build things that are going to last for eternity, we have to continue like that little rock badger. We have to hide ourselves in Christ. We have to hide ourselves in his will. We have to find our rest, our joy, our protection by trusting that rock that has survived so many storms. Why does the little rodent hide in the rock? Because that rock has survived many a storm. The strongest of predators, the bear, can't break through a rock. Nothing can get to that little defenseless rodent as long as he's hiding in the rock. When we do the same thing, no matter what the trial, no matter what the tragedy, no matter what the loss, if we will find our refuge in Christ, knowing he will protect that which needs protection, that which has eternal value, then we will also thrive in the will of God. One more in Psalm 16. "So in your time of trouble, cry out to the Lord. Ask him to hide you, to protect you. Simply acknowledge he is your protector." We forget that sometimes, don't we? Oh my, what's going to happen to me? If this and this happens, we've all played the what-if game. Doesn't matter what the if is. It's got to get through the rock before it can get to me. Before it can do any real harm, it has to go through the rock, the eternal rock. Psalm 16, verses 7 to 9. "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the right seasons," in the night seasons, rather. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope." When we make our home in the eternal rock, we will find rest, even in the midst of storm, even when we're being pursued by the enemy. We'll find rest, joy, peace, protection. The next illustration is found in the locust, or the grasshopper, as we know it in our modern terms. The locusts in verse 27 have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. Now, the key to the overwhelming power, in this case it is a destructive power, but nonetheless it is power. And the key to their overwhelming power is their unity. Most of us, although some of the Colorado girls who are unaccustomed to what real bugs are, like us Kansans, they may be afraid of one little grasshopper. But most of us wouldn't be afraid of one little grasshopper. Pretty small, pretty insignificant. What's the big deal? Just you get that juice all over you, but no big deal. What's the problem with that little insect? Well, the problem is not in the individual bug. Their power is found in their unity when they move all together, just like they're an army where with a king or a general that's telling them exactly what to do, but they just do it by instinct. Again, it's built in when they swarm, and there's different reasons we in this country haven't had those swarms for a long time, although I do think that they do still swarm in this country from time to time. But when they swarm, they're just doing what God has put in them to do, what is natural to them. But for us, again, we have a choice to enjoy that kind of power that comes from unity. In our case, we do have a king. We do have a general. We do have one voice that tells us what we are to be doing, when we are to do it. We have a head as the body of Christ. So we have an advantage over these grasshoppers, that we do have one source that if we will listen to the wisdom, if we'll listen to the instruction, we'll enjoy the same kind of power. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and look at the New Testament doctrinal statements that reflect this as well. We find, as believers, we find strength and power when we walk in unity. First and foremost, with Christ, with his instruction, with his will, what pleases him. And then as we all, as individual members of the body of Christ, as we yield ourselves to the head, then we all benefit from that unity. And we have power to overcome. Ephesians 4:11-16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, that is, Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but instead of that vulnerable, weak condition, instead speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Do you see the benefit, the power, the success that comes from unity in the Spirit when we endeavor to keep the unity, as Paul wrote? We all benefit from that. And there is success. But when there's biting and, how's Paul put it, the backbiting, I guess it is, backbiting, we devour one another rather than being powerful and successful in what we're doing. Then we begin to destroy ourselves, and the will of God is not accomplished in us or through us. And so may we understand a commitment. In fact, I think it was Wanda, I was talking to Bob and Wanda today about the need for us to understand our commitment first and foremost to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, then to the gospel that they have given to us, that they have charged us with, to share with others, that when each of us take it seriously, our responsibility to proclaim the gospel, to support the proclamation of the whole counsel of God. When we do that, good things happen. God's people are built up. They're strengthened. But when there comes division because people are not committed to Jesus Christ and to sound doctrine, and other things become more important, then oftentimes there come, instead of edification, there comes ruin and destruction. And I've often said this at different times in different ways, and I think it applies in this situation, that many times there have been those that have come and enjoyed the message, and then for one reason or another have gone and supported other ministries and other messages. Some of them actually promote false doctrine. Others simply reject other parts of Scripture that are very clearly the will of God. And then I've, from time to time, seen people come back and happy that they can come and go. And I've had people tell me, in fact, one couple that left here a number of years ago, they came back about a year after they left, and they said, you know, when my husband and I go down Wadsworth and we say, well, those people are being fed there, because where they were going, they weren't being fed. And it just makes you scratch your head. They know where they can be built up and what. And when I say where, it's not this building, it's not this church. It's the sound teaching and preaching of the Word of God that builds people up. And sometimes those that have that attitude, they'll come back occasionally and, oh, that's great. And they don't stop and think, if everybody had the same commitment to sound doctrine that they do, one day they're going to knock on the door wanting to be fed, and, oh, wait a minute, the door's locked. Why? Because nobody's there. We need to understand that there's strength, there's power. I stop and think about the Spanish outreach, and it's, you know, we don't do a lot of advertising and big promotion of the missionary outreach. We try to keep people that are interested informed. Brother Virgil does. But if people would understand what this relatively small assembly, the outreach of people that are being built up in the Pauline gospel because of little assemblies like this and like where Brother Greggy attends in Kansas City, to understand that those few people, the impact they're having, it's just like one little insect. But we're not just one little insect. We do have a king that's instructing, and will see to it that we have success. And many people are being won to Christ. Christians are being rooted and grounded in sound doctrine because some people, relatively few, small, insignificant, are committed to doing the will of God. We can learn a lot from that little locus if we will understand there's strength and power in unity, not just in unions, not in just getting together and putting a banner over you and saying this is who we are, but our unity has already been made by Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ, and our unity is when we all agree and stand on the same revelation of the will of God, the whole counsel of God, as Paul put it. And when we all stand there in unity, there is prosperity for eternity in the will of God. The last one is the spider. This version gives the spider, verse 28, skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces. Often the case in the Old Testament with the Hebrew words that are given to animals and insects, many of those have a lot of different interpretations and understanding about exactly what animal or what insect is being referenced. And this is one of those cases. A possible translation is a reference actually to a lizard. In fact, some actually translate it literally, the lizard that grabs, the lizard that grabs with its hands. And it's in king's palace. And now the thought here, if you'll picture this, in those days, palaces, rich kings like Solomon, David, they built their palaces with marble. And marble, of course, is a very non-porous surface and very slick and very richy looking. But you go into the most magnificent of palaces where only the elite get in, and you don't just walk in there without an invitation in the presence of the king. But in that grand and glorious place where so many are excluded, you'll find a spider web somewhere in a corner. And the spider lives in the presence of a king. That little irritating, insignificant insect will have the most elaborate company. And the same is with this little lizard. Most of us don't like lizards. I don't like lizards. But even a lizard can live in the presence of a king. And this is probably a reference to a very specific lizard that lives in that area, that literally produces a glue on its hands. And I think there are a number of species that do that. And marble walls are especially suitable for them to climb around on because it's non-porous material. And so the little glue allows them to walk all over that nice marble. So they're in the presence of a king, little, insignificant, and maybe even a little creepy. But they're in good company because God gave them certain built-in characteristics and abilities. Now, once again, with us, it's not a matter of instinct. It's a matter of us choosing to use what God has given us. God has given it to us. But we have to choose to exercise the little glue of faith. And if we will, us little ugly creatures, we will be able to walk in the presence of the King. 1 Corinthians 1:9. We understand that we are insignificant. We understand that we are actually despised by the world. But we walk and live in fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now remember who he's talking about. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. Fragile vessels of clay. Romans chapter 5, we are lowly creatures, just like the spider, just like the lizard. But we can enjoy on a daily basis the presence of God in our life when we live by faith. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We stand in the very presence of God, knowing that we are fully accepted because of that little glue that God offers called faith. And all we have to do is apply it. The greater the degree of our faith and obedience to the Word of God, the closer we walk with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll close with this one. God called these four creatures wise because they responded to the God-given instinct that they were given. If we will respond to the God-given wisdom in Proverbs and throughout the Scripture, we will also know success. We'll also enjoy the close presence of royalty, the close presence of deity in a very real and personal way on a daily basis. Ephesians 5, 15 to 18. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or waste, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm glad that we can be wise. I'm glad that we can walk by faith. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed this evening.